Hello and welcome to the final AfriCast at HTXT for the year. As always, as until the end of December, this is brought to you by HTXT's Gear of the Year Research in association with Axis Work Group, your distributor of choice for premium brands including Cisco, HP, and Logitech. Log on to HTXT Africa today and click on the Gear of the Year link. Your entry could win you 30,000 Rand in tech prizes that don't include Lungelo's annoying phone that just went off, but could include a gaming laptop and an ultra-widescreen monitor. Entries close on the 20th of December, and the results will be announced on HTXT and Tech Made Easy in
January.
There you go.
Guys, I know it's the last podcast, but can you keep some semblance of sanity, please?
Yeah.
I need to edit this. Yeah.
Hey, shall we?
Fill up the podcast with bad stuff. No, we won't do that. Editing is a pain.
In case you are unaware of who those disembodied voices are, joining me in the studio today is Brendan Lotz.
Hello.
King of the facial hair.
Are we going to go on the same thing? Nick, my name's Clinton before Nick gives me a straight.
Clinton Matos, smooth as a baby's bum face.
I'll take it. Hello, everybody.
Lungelo Shezi, queen of memes.
Right? I was telling Brendan earlier this morning, I need to take you on a tour of my meme collection. Like, and you know, most of them come from news stories. So it'll be like a story from the New York Times or Times Live.
I'll just be like scrolling through Twitter and I'll be like, oh, who's me? Oh, it's Lungelo.
It's me.
By the way, if you don't follow Lungelo, you really should. She puts a lot of work into her memes and her tweets on Twitter. Born Intellectual? They can find it.
Oh, no, I changed it. I hate Claudia. I hate him now.
Don't lie, you love him.
I hate him now.
Yeah, well, anyway, she actually has a folder on her desktop filled with GIFs and memes that she uses.
And he's not even joking. He's
she
right.
has printed out GIFs.
Exactly.
Hundreds of pages.
This is one of the reasons that Lungelo Shezi sits on the bleeding edge of journalism.
I need Facebook to be as seamless in their GIF, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure upload. Memes helped get Donald Trump into the White Office. So if memes,
the White Office.
The White Office, yeah.
Don't you mean the White House or the
What are you trying to say?
It's late in the year. I'm just trying to say if memes can do that, they can do anything.
They can get Donald Trump into the White Office.
Yes, that's what they're going to do to keep him out of the White House. They're going to be like, this is the White Office.
When you use memes as your news source.
So can we all agree that 2016 has been shit?
Yes.
Generally speaking.
Yes.
Not for me.
Well, no. Well, there's more people in the world than
I would have said that
about
a few.
The world at large.
Oh, mine. 6.9999999 billion other people other than me. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a good year.
Yeah.
I was having a good year until like last month, where some personal things happened, and just like. F this year. Please end. Please.
You were holding on for so long.
Yeah, I was so long. I got so close to the finish line and I just got kneecapped right on the precipice.
So yeah, don't be so smug, Lungelo. There's still another week.
I'm going to hide in my heart. I'm just not going to go anywhere. Mm. So I don't have to. I don't want to end up being that person who's like filming some high... some crazy altercation between you know that you don't want to be that guy who's behind
the viral video,
a video and journalists are calling you
just before New Year's
exactly and you're being called out like, oh why didn't you you know so no, I'm gonna stay indoors and try and stay away from everyone else.
That's cool. Well, this is a year that saw many celebrity deaths.
Like Stefano, you know what? Stefano D'Amero was the bottom line. Like,
did he die?
He did.
Yes.
I have never watched that show to completion. I have only ever seen in passing.
But everyone knows.
But my
Stefano.
Mother's been watching it for the entirety of my life. So yeah. It's like being something I've grown up with.
But he was old though. He was like 88.
Is he from Days of Our Lives?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that would be why I have no idea who the hell he is.
Coming back and dying. So he died finally, like for real. Like we're not even playing anymore.
Wait.
Why has he died before and gone?
In the show, he dies and then he comes back and then he dies.
Don't you remember I counted 12 times?
That was about Days of Our Lives. I just edited it.
Yes, but yeah. So he died of Alzheimer's.
I love this. What's his name again?
In real life, Joe something Italian.
Joe something Italian.
Joe something Italian.
I just touted you out Italian. As a cutting edge journalist, and it shows you can't even be bothered to do the research on the guy who you're saddest
Joseph,
most.
Actually, not Joe. Joseph.
It's actually a French name. Joe something Italian. Well, let me look.
Okay, you look that up. You
we
know?
All know him as Stefano De Merive. So
I love this.
The only role that he ever played.
No, he also did Massimo in Days.
What was his name?
Old and the Beautiful.
Joseph. Oh.
See?
Mascolo.
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 Yeah, Joe Mascolo.
Mascolo.
Stefano De Merra.
Right. It's not like his name was Joe Zipta. Right. Okay.
Flipping episode.
I just
Rick
love the
Morty.
Fact that in a year that saw the likes of David Bowie, Prince, Alan Rickman, Gene Wilder, A.A. Gill, your big sad moment is Joe Italian, what's his name?
No, but that's big, you guys.
Shout out to the memes, though.
You don't understand.
Biggest celebrity death 2016, Harambe.
Was that this year still?
Yes.
It's been a long year.
It's been a long year,
oh,
Lungi.
Oh, word, you guys. I thought it was like last year's in home already.
Nope.
Okay, so let's bring this all back into center a little bit.
Yeah.
And the point of this podcast this week is to go over some of our favorite things of 2015.
All the most notable things
like,
of 2015.
Well, not Oprah favorite things,
yeah.
But like...
Some of the most notable things that we think have happened this year. And So I think let's kick this off with Queen of the Memes.
Yeah, the person who's hardly ever in the podcast.
Yeah.
Who will be hiding in a bunker from this time next week.
So what are your favorite things or the most notable things that happened for you this year?
The look on my face. It says it all.
Yeah, you can't see that at home. This is radio.
It started off as just probably a story that would last a week or a month or, you know, one of those stories where it's like, so and so.
You report on it once and it's done.
Yeah, it's like, this happened. You know, it's a big story, but yeah, you know, whatever. Clouding twinning. Now, it's not like the first time I wrote about this guy was this year. I think my very first story about him was 2014. But at the time, he was... So, you know when you write a story as a journalist and you refer to the person by their title instead of their name because they're still... The name doesn't really ring a bell yet.
Yeah.
So, if Donald Trump... If no one knew who Donald Trump was before the elections, he would have been a candidate for presidency.
Yeah.
So, it does this and this.
Not a celebrity.
You know, it wouldn't say apprentice. Trump. If he was not famous before, it would say newcomer, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Instead of his name.
Weird
Trump.
Hair sporting apprentice... Show running.
Hey guy. So it started off as SABC COO does this, and that was just shortly after the public protector's report on his appointments as a COO, which we now know was mafia style. You know, he was hired mafia style, but anyway.
Mafia
so it
style.
It started there, you know, I'd write the art story once every 2-3 months maybe. And then this year it snowballed, like even I couldn't get a grip, and I was like, oh my gosh, it snowballed. May, I'd say May.
Yeah,
with
I think that's when things started to like...
The protest, the ban on...
Hit the fan is the correct term.
Exactly. The ban on public violence.
No, you started writing about him before then when he did his 90%.
Yeah, so there was like sort of within the same period, it was like April, May-ish, within that time. So the 90% was... It didn't look as serious as we now know it is now. It was just like, oh no, this guy's really, you know, it might be flawed, but he's really trying, he's getting at something here with the whole, let's try and support our local musicians more. And, you know, I mean, America does it. America plays a lot of American music on their radio stations more than they do international artists. But with South Africa, there seems to be a trend of, you know, American artists getting a lot of airplay.
Or AKA
It's flawed, but he's getting at something with it. So I wasn't too concerned about 90%. But then in came the violent public protest footage, and it didn't stop there. Journalists who spoke against it were fired. And I was like, oh my gosh. What's happening? Things just started. You'd literally be on one story, and then you read in the Sunday paper, oh, by the way, while Shawidi was busy with this, he was also doing that. It was like, oh my gosh, I do not have a handle on this anymore. You know when they just too much going on
yeah.
around one thing, and you're like, okay, where do I focus now? I remember I spent an entire full week at the labor court in Bronfontein reporting on the whole that. It was, I mean, I was expecting to be 1 or 2 days yeah. but I was there for a week. And once that was done, it's like, oh, here's something else. So he's doing this and this and this. And once that's done, it's like, you know what? I was telling Nick and Adam that day, I'm going to need like a Saudi kind of bonus thing going on. Because the way the stories, I've even ignored some stories because there were just too many. Mm. Otherwise, we'd overpopulate our site with like 6 stories on one man only. And it's just like, are you
I'm sorry, a legend.
A legend, a saint in his own words.
He's done 3 miracles.
I know when we have our morning chats, it's like...
what's he done now?
We have to decide on which cloudy story...
Exactly, there's just so many things. Literally this week, yesterday, while the SABC inquiry is going on, the Western Cape High Court decided that his appointment as GE of Corporate Affairs at SABC was unlawful because they didn't follow due processes, and it was against the recommendations of the public protector report. So it's like, there's this huge... SABC inquiry going on where explosives are going off every minute because witnesses are dropping bombs all over the place in terms of evidence being given. And then one thing's going on this side where the court's like, oh, Saudi is not allowed to hold any position. And luckily, I was actually expecting him to pop up with a press conference and say, you know what, I'm not going anywhere. Because you know Saudi, he'll be like, Saudi's not going anywhere. Please just know this, that I am the SABC. I'm not going. I was expecting that. But luckily, thank goodness, he gave us a break. So it's just been a slippery slope of one thing after... It's like our own Donald Trump, but smaller version. It's like a compact Donald Trump, you know? So it wasn't a highlight, but it certainly kept me busy.
Donald Trump light.
Yeah. Saudi Trump or...
You see, that's the thing. Is that, like, it wasn't just the... I mean, like, there are some very, very serious things about Claudia Mazzoni. Like, you know, when we listened to the SABC inquiry last week,
stuff
that was coming out, you know, journalists being threatened, journalists being summarily dismissed, journalists
being
getting their written
being followed by the state security agency, which is like,
money disappearing everywhere to TNA, to, you know, different
ANN
deals.
Seven.
No. ANN7 didn't exist.
Oh yeah,
right?
Before.
All right, just be very careful, people. We are talking about media here, but then again, like, you look at but this is the stuff that's serious stuff. I mean, the rest. I mean, for me, the first time I just was like, who is this man? Wasn't the fact that he like made 90% local content?
Yeah.
Was that when the song emerged, thanking him?
Thank you
for how many unilateral decisions have you taken this year? And then wrote a song to thank yourself for them. How many?
I do that every day, Nick. Don't you?
How many concerts have you thrown for yourself, Brendan?
One.
Exactly. Who pitched up? No one.
Yeah, guys. I'd even forgotten about that.
If a concert happens and nobody shows up, did it really happen?
That's the thing. I want to be in the next Claudi Mazzoning press conference. No. I want to be on the next press conference because I'm going to ask him like the serious questions, like, you know. Thank you, SABC, was a great song. Why can't I download it off iTunes?
What's your follow-up track? What's your follow-up single?
Is it going to be an album?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think more people...
You don't put it past him. Do you know that Jacob Zuma... Oh, goodness. When were the last elections? 2014.
Well, the municipal elections were this year.
No. The national elections. Pre-2014, there was literally an entire album dedicated to re-electing Jacob Zuma as the president of South Africa. An entire album. I think I have it at home.
Can I have a copy?
I think I threw it away.
No, dig it out.
Do you know where I got it? I was walking past the... Okay, I'm not going to say the funny name. Luthuli House. The Luthuli House.
I'm going to remain professional, as we do.
Let's keep it safe. I was walking past Luthuli House on Sour Street, near the Johannesburg Library, and it was campaigning time. ANC. So they were handing out. They gave me an exam pad, an old exam pad from 2002. And
how did you know it was from 2002? Because it had a date.
It was in Cell C, 2002. So, and then the CD, the Jacob Zuma CD. And I took it. I didn't say no because I was like,
free CD?
This looks interesting. And then I went home with this. I think I popped it into the laptop or whatever it was playing on at the time. And I heard one song. And it was, if you know Comrade Struggle songs, how they sound, they sound typically the same. And so I read the back. Well, Jacob Zuma's on the cover. And it's like, track number one, Zuma for president. Track number two, vote Zuma. Track number three. And it's like, oh, subtle. Okay. So don't put it past Claudie to release the entire Thank You SABC album brought to you by the GE of Corporate Affairs, Claudie Mtuneng, in collaboration with a number of top South African artists. Personally, I don't blame the artists because, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta do what you gotta
do. What if he does put out an album and it's brilliant. It goes on the international charts and that's what Billboard, South Africa is known for.
I don't know. It'd have to do better than the Antwoord.
Shots fired.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
so don't put that past.
Do you really want to lose the will to live?
No.
How many stories do you reckon you've written about Cloudy this year?
50?
More than you count, Nick.
Yes, I have counted how many stories.
I say 80.
80, right? No, but by the way, this year. No, stories about Cloudy. How many do you reckon?
Can't be that bad.
Hey, 120?
Can't be that bad.
Okay.
No, I refuse to have my life overtaken like that.
Okay, all right. Do you want to know?
It comes in spades.
Do you want to know who's closest?
It's the little deaths.
Brendan.
Oh, no.
And Brendan is off by 119.
No.
What?
Stop playing.
You have written 221 stories this year alone about Claudie Mtuneng, which averages out at 4.25 stories a day. A week. No, actually, probably more than that because I divided it by 52. It's 4.25. A year's not over yet.
And I didn't even start writing about this in January.
Lungi, do you know that I write a story about 3D printing every day? It's called My 3D Prints of the Day. And I think I've actually written less than that. Lungi is in shock.
Save me, Jesus.
These are the stories that have the tag Claudie Mtuneng in them that include Claudie Mtuneng, which means that that's not even all the stories you've written about the shenanigans at the SABC.
Wow.
You see why I need a bonus?
No, but I see why you need a holiday.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'd rather have a holiday.
And it's not even going to be a full holiday because something...
Because Cloudy will do something. Yeah. I know he'll do something.
Christmas. Hey, Merry Christmas. You're all fired. You know? He fired people on Monday.
When you go on holiday, just turn off your phone. Just don't look when there's like newspapers on the side of the road.
I once had a dream, or rather nightmare. I forgot where I was, what was happening, but Cloudy saved me that day.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's gotten to that point. So yeah.
See, the thing is, I was thinking of making him HTXT Man of the Year the same way Donald Trump was Time Man of the Year, but like after like the revelations last week, it's like, it's not funny anymore.
Not happening.
Right. So yeah.
Can we talk about something that isn't Cloudy Mtuneng?
I don't know, Lungelo. Can we? Are you able to write about something else occasionally?
I think I wrote about Dartima's Fall in
Your favorite man, T-Bud Touch.
Okay, let me not say that.
I think you just did.
But I no longer. Actually, let me say, I don't follow him on Twitter anymore.
The ultimate death.
What a slap. I bet you blocked him.
Oh my God, he won't get any of your memes.
You don't deserve my followership.
Like he won't get burned in all the sun with all the shade around.
Exactly. So, bye. It's fine. He used all of us. I felt so used. So, bye.
Sounds like you were in a relationship.
Because, I feel the same way about a certain Swedish YouTuber.
Oh, what?
PewDiePie!
That dude.
Don't say that name around me.
How dare you sit where he sat?
No, because you feel like this person is generally, I won't say not on your side per se, but that they're generally relating with you one-on-one, like person to person, not politician to person or anything like that. You feel like they're really relating with you on a human level. I've never met the man in my life, and I followed his career, And he's a quite a hypey guy, so he hypes things up a lot. But he still seems very relatable. Like, I mean, this guy is all over the place, he's got a whole lot of business deals going on, but he's still able to relate to his followers on a one-on-one, I know what you're going through, I know what you feel basis. So that was for me was like, oh, okay, so this guy's really genuine. I mean, I didn't really care much for Gareth Cliff, but he was like, oh, okay, let's go. Dart Must Fall, hashtag Dart. I mean, there was even a Dart Must Fall account, and they even went to Parliament.
And then one day, Lungelo woke up, and she saw what was happening.
And I saw a bunch of tweets about an exclusive deal with MTN for 8. I'm like, bye-bye. Goodbye.
Oh, well. Could be worse. They could be doing sponsored videos by Loot Crate. Hey, Brendan.
Or G2A.
Poor Brendan.
After, you also like poking me.
After threatening to delete their streaming media channel.
Which new?
I don't actually want to talk about that, but I'm going to talk about that. Like, that was a really low down move because the issues that he raised are really important.
Mm.
And by not deleting his channel, he just took... It was just like, oh, well, my money is more important than anything that is happening on the
money,
platform.
Money,
bye.
Mm.
And yeah, that's why I'm angry.
You see, this is why I stick to games.
I don't want to talk about that.
YouTube is like a bastion for games, Nick. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, no, that's the difference.
90% of the content on the
Yeah, but like, I don't need to watch somebody else play a game. I can play a game myself. It's like, you know,
some of us can't afford to buy all the games in the world, so we have to watch YouTubers play them.
Well,
and live vicariously through them.
Well, you know what? That's sad. this is one of the reasons why Gamergate hardly ever touched me. It's like, you know, I'm a daddy, corrupt the journalist, feminist, and I'm like, I'm going to go to the video game store now. Hi, I'd like to buy Fallout 4. Here you are, sir. Right off I go to play Fallout 4. There you go. No anger was necessary until the game crashes, which it does frequently. Anyway.
Been an event
so
for you.
Yellow was Cloudy Motsuneng and Thibaut
Touch. Thibaut Touch. So it's just disappointment for you, really.
Yeah.
Well, you
not
know.
Very good yet.
See? Your year
and
wasn't that great, was
and
it?
And they happen to be friends, so that says a lot.
Yeah.
For me, the stuff I had the most fun doing this year, Amaze, was great. If you don't know what Amaze is, it's basically when the South African indie games community and also some international indie game developers descend on Joburg. And they bring their wares with them, and you go along and you can play them. It's organized by a guy called Torsten Wiedersen. He's, I think, German.
Dutch, isn't he? From the Netherlands? Might be German. Might actually be German. I think you're right.
But yeah, he organizes a maze. And seriously, if you didn't get the chance to go this year, go next year. It's held at Shimalong Precinct, which was just party central for like 4 days about games and celebration of games workshops. They had a massive braai at the end of it. It was wonderful.
I was there for like 2 days.
Yeah, it was good.
It was really awesome. Like, absolutely. If you've never been, it is well worth going. The games are really awesome. You can see the people have like worked their butts off to make those games. I mean, like, most of them don't even release those games. It's just like for a maze. And that's what I found.
Yeah.
Games for Games Festival that don't get released?
Yep.
It's just hobby games. And that's what's really awesome about them is that this person is making this game because they have the genuine love of just making games.
Really?
Yeah, the thing is...
Okay, but what if it's so
integrity?
Good that you want it?
The thing is, it's that, like, Amaze is kind of like... Okay, so like, if you look at the major games festivals in South Africa, like Rage obviously is the big is the big one. But Rage is more centered on selling a product than it is actually raising awareness about... Well, no, but it's like, here's this game. It will be out at Christmas. You need it. And you need this Xbox to play it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, Amaze is just like, hi, I made this in my bedroom using this. This is what you can do with the same tools,
so
which are
like,
free.
Whereas Rage is... Sony, Xbox, all the big names amazes Clinton in his garage.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, and the thing is, I make games in my garage.
And the thing is that like you go there, and if you don't know anything about programming or coding or anything like that, they show you workshops in which they teach you how to use the tools if you have
that
an idea.
Cool.
So the idea that like you know when
even
you
not go to Amaze
when you see a game like say Uncharted or Gears of War, I mean you look at that and how much money it costs, how much money it costs to market it, the platforms it's on,
it's huge,
how much time you like, there is no way on earth I will ever be making something like that. And then you go to Amaze and you meet someone like Sakia Kamani, who's part of Nyamakop, which are making, oh god, I can't remember, but it basically looks like Super Meat Boy meets Super Mario Brothers.
Oh yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Super Square.
It's not called Super Square. I feel really bad now having
found
the name. We'll mention the game, but like he'll just like say like this started off as an art project.
Mm.
And then we realized we could actually take it somewhere.
So you get to real people, basically. Real people.
I'd say all the people in the games industry are real people. It's just that these ones are
none of them are imaginary.
I'd say that these people have the same sort of budget that you do. So I don't have like $600 million to throw at something like Braid. So, you know, but you might be able to make a decent game in your bedroom. And these guys, you know, not only show you that it's possible, they take you through the steps where you could actually go towards doing it, which is one of the reasons, like, Amaze is probably my favorite event of the year.
Did you go overseas?
I went to overseas twice. I went to London to see Gran Turismo.
Huh?
And I went to California to BlizzCon.
So Amaze tops both of those.
I'd say that even though BlizzCon, I love Blizzard and I love meeting the people at Blizzard and some friends of mine overseas. If all the events were in Johannesburg and on the same day,
mm-hmm.
I'd spend most of my time at Amaze.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yay, Amaze.
Semblance, that's it. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, you're amazed.
One sequel can be super simple.
There was a number of things I enjoyed this year. BlizzCon was obviously one of them. The GT event with Sony as well.
Any movies you enjoyed?
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed Warcraft, which is a great film.
It's really awesome.
No, it's awesome. Not. Yes, it is. We sent this stupid ass down there to review it. And he came back with this monologue about a hipster.
It's pointless. What?
Terrible movie.
It's not a
wrong.
You know, when the whole office disagrees with you, chances are you're wrong.
No, because everybody else who's seen it who isn't a fan of World of Warcraft
thinks
it's terrible. You are being blinded by fanboys. It's sad.
Yeah,
I'm
shut up, Lungello.
That happened to my colleagues.
Bet you play Alliance and everything.
Blue Alliance.
I just see what else. I went on an event down to Durban. For Lenovo, which we didn't end up covering, unfortunately, but it was more of an experience. It was wonderful. They sent us on the amazing race around Durban.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I couldn't move.
To Shaka Marine.
I went to Mini Town.
Bunny Chow.
No, I didn't eat Bunny Chow.
Then bye-bye.
Didn't really go to Durban.
let me tell you something. I was running around Durban picking up clues the entire time, you know, and I got the impression that at the end of it, it was a new kind of... event that, you know, rather than, you know, them give you the product and have you review it, they give you the product and film you trying to run around Durban and then laugh at you afterwards.
What'd you win?
Nothing.
Who won and what?
I don't know. I think Craig from Stuff was on the winning team and they got some. No. Bafana was on the winning team and they got like a Lenovo camera, I think.
Oh.
For their office or for their personal?
I think I got a dinner mint. I'm not sure though.
Yep.
No, I lie. I got a traveling thermos flask.
Oh, incredible.
Quite handy.
None of us got a flask, so I mean, net positive.
He's up there with the big leagues.
Other than that, there was BotCon this year, which was quite fun. I don't know how much you know or care about bots.
I know nothing about bots.
Yeah. I know a lot about
Talk
robots.
To them, you're right.
Yes.
I know a lot about robots.
Yeah. So what were your highlights of this year apart from Titanfall 2's multiplayer?
Well, I got to speak to a few YouTubers. I got to speak to Casually Explained, who mm-hmm. is anonymous. I don't know their real name. I got to speak to Laurie. I can't pronounce your surname because it's very difficult. He's the man behind the Hydraulic Press channel. And I got to speak to Simone Gert.
She makes the crap robots,
yes,
doesn't
she? She's the queen of shitty robots. I'm not being mean. She calls herself the queen of shitty robots. She makes really cool little DIY robots. that do funny things. My favorite one is called the Deal With It robot that puts sunglasses on her face automatically.
As long as they work.
Yeah. Well,
kind of.
They work in giant air quotation marks. I got to interview these three people. Laurie's channel basically is he finds stuff, he puts it in a hydraulic press and he destroys it. And it's really simple, but it's highly entertaining. And
it's incredibly entertaining.
Yeah, my favorite one must have been with Casually Destroy Explained. Stuff. So Casually Explained, he makes a variety of strange videos where he's like, here's a subject, I'm going to talk about it for a little while. And he backs it up with paintings that are done in MS Paint. And they are so funny. Like, one of them is the best. Is she into you? Casually Explained. And he's just like this awkward 20-something guy who just like meanders his way through life. And that is me. He's the voice
of my generation. I like this man because he reminds me of me.
Yeah,
He's the you you've never met.
Yeah, he's the voice of my generation. And
how old is he?
20-something. He likes to be anonymous. He likes the privacy. And this character that he puts on for his videos, he's exactly the same. Like, I spoke to him a lot over the internet, and he's exactly the same as a real person. So
what? Somebody on the internet is a real person?
No. I'm saying the character he puts on is very close to how he is. And yeah, I'll put links to all those interviews because you really want to go sit down and read them. And they were all fantastic. Other highlights were Doom single player, which was a massive surprise. Into the Gungeon, which I put 150 hours into, and I'm going to put more hours into when it goes live with the new update. And Jaguar, I went down to drive one of their new cars because it had integration with wearables. And it was the first time going to a car launch, and I was pretty blown away by it. You just basically drive for the whole weekend, and then they're like, oh, how was the car? I'm not
just
motoring.
Drive 10 out of 10.
No explosions. Yeah, maybe I was just enamored because it was my first car journalist experience, but that was very cool.
Did you do any drifting?
No. They would have been very angry at me if I drifted their four-wheel drive car.
Can you drift?
In general or in a four-wheel drive car?
In general.
No, I've never tried. Maybe I have a latent skill.
And in a four-wheel drive car?
No, you can't drift a four-wheel drive car.
So when I said to you, can you drift? And you said, what? You mean in a four-wheel drive car or a normal car?
Equally insane.
How about you just say no? I can't drift. Full stop. Don't know how.
Maybe people don't know. You can only drift in a rear-wheel drive car, by the way.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, I'm sure there's something I'm forgetting. I just have a few tabs open, and that's the stuff I remembered off the top of the dome piece.
How about you, Brendan?
So difficult. So, I think for me, one of the best things for this year... Shut up. one of the best things for me this year was... So difficult to choose. Okay, from a smartphone perspective, I think one of my favorite phones of the year to use was the Sony XZ. Mainly because for the longest time, whenever anybody came up to me and said, which phone should I get, was the Samsung Galaxy S7. If a person was looking for...
It's not that one that caught fire.
No, it isn't. No. We'll get to that.
Okay, so I'm trying to ask a question here, but
she's maybe you, doesn't it? This is testy.
Hey, PewDiePie likes this.
So why are we antagonizing Brendan?
Like, really? Jeez. Is it like pick on Brendan Day or something?
Yep.
But
did you get the memo?
So what I really liked about
got the meme.
What I really liked about the Sony was it had a really great battery life. The performance was great. And it was kind of like the underdog, as it were, because nobody was expecting great things from Sony. And it was the first Sony phone that I actually used that I was like, wow, I could actually get one of these if I had the money.
Now, how much does this phone cost?
13 grand.
That is 10,000 rand more than the phone I bought that was on sale. It's a lot of money.
But speaking about that actually segues really nicely into my next point, was while I really enjoyed the XZ, I started to see that a lot of cheap smartphones were really, really great. And I mean, if you look at something like the Mi 5, which is by all accounts, it is a flagship smartphone that costs 8 grand, that goes toe-to-toe with both the Sony XZ and the Samsung Galaxy S7. Like, that is a really, really good little phone. And, like, I think it's a sleeper. I don't think anybody is really like, oh, we should get this phone. It is really, really great. And if I had to pick a best phone of the year, it would be the Xiaomi Mi 5.
Mm.
Because it is just that fantastic. In terms of newsmaker of the year, I'm going to have to go with Samsung and their...
burning battery.
Yeah, their exploding battery.
Their malfunctions.
So it all started back in September, straight following the launch of the Galaxy Note 7. Some people that already had the phone in the States and around the world started to report that the phone was catching fire. And I remember seeing this the first day and going, okay, this doesn't seem all that accurate, until I started to see photos of burnt out Note 7s.
I remember hearing about it and thinking, oh, it must have just been one. Yeah. Maybe the guy was using it wrong. It's like, that, phones don't explode.
That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, oh, it's a once in a while thing that happened. And then I wrote the story saying that there's been reports of people having their phone. And literally within a couple of hours, Samsung responded saying, there is a problem. We need to do a recall.
DEFCON 5.
So they went and they recalled all their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And then gave people replacements, because obviously you're not going to cut your line just there. You're going to try and make money off of this phone that you've spent months and months and probably years and years in development.
They issued a new version, didn't they?
Yeah,
in a different box.
With a different box that had a battery indicator, safety, all of that sort of stuff. And then that one proceeded to catch fire.
Wow.
So
just can't get a break, huh?
No, they really couldn't catch a break. So eventually what happened is Samsung decided to kill off the Note 7. Completely. And that became a bit of a problem, because that is one of Samsung's biggest phones. I mean, their Note series is, for enthusiasts, it's high performance. It's it's got the numbers to back it up, all that sort of stuff. What is going on?
I don't know. Ask him. I'm just stretching.
Okay. So, yeah, it was a really big loss for Samsung, but... Now it's come out, in some people have found that they tried to cram a battery into space that the battery wouldn't have fitted in, and that their pursuit to try and get the smallest, thinnest phone ever.
This is the note.
Kind of hampered them in not having a phone that explodes.
Right.
You know? So they are my newsmaker, and there are a couple of rumors doing the rounds at the moment that the S8 won't have a 3.5mm jack.
Mm.
I saw that.
This is the biggest load of bull, because
they going to have to drill holes in?
No. After it was announced that, okay, Apple is getting rid of the jack, and it's not a joke. One of the employees from Samsung came out and made a joke of it at a press conference. Yeah, like, hey guys, we've got a jack. And then a few months later, they did the same damn thing.
Well, it's all just a rumor at this point. So let's hope not say that they are going...
I 100% think they will. And then we shouldn't give them any more attention, because they're hypocrites.
Well, I'm just kind of sitting here going...
Jeez!
You're going to put Brendan out of work, so no.
Yeah, jeez.
So this year we saw a couple of phones that had USB Type-C coming in, and...
Is it a different one from...
Well, your normal phone uses USB, micro USB...
B.
B.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And C is different.
Type-C is the little one that is reversible, so you can put the charger...
Either way. Okay.
The one that...
Apple's, as long as it's not Apple-esque kind of thing.
No, it's a standardized plug, but my worry is that 2017 is going to be the year where all headphone jacks get loud.
Go just away. This is why I buy cheap, unknown Chinese brands. Hello.
Yeah, but that's the problem, right? Hate it or love it, Apple is a trendsetter, and whatever they do, everyone else is going to want to parrot. And even if it's a bad choice, they will parrot it. And that is what we're going to go...
I mean, like, they have this thing where, like, think about every
they think
single
out of
smartphone
the box,
you
yeah.
have, or every single smartphone that has come out since
has mimicked.
The iPhone.
Yeah, has mimicked.
Rectangular box, camera on the front, camera on the back, done.
The home button in the middle.
Yeah. You know, like, people mimic Apple, and I firmly believe that I would tend to agree with Clinton, if I wasn't one that believed in that didn't want to believe in rumors, that the S7 is not going to have a headphone jack. And
Samsung.
I think moving forward, you're going to find a headphone jack being a rarity. And for me, that's
imagine you guys, it's going to be so crazy.
Well, just like I think about it, I have no wireless headphones, none. All of my headphones use a 3.5 millimeter jack.
Is it?
And I am not going to go and drop $2,500 on a pair of headphones that is Bluetooth just so that I can use it with my iPhone.
Yeah.
Or my Samsung or whatever that be.
And
I'm also not prepared to walk around with 5 dongles to be able to attach whatever I want to my phone.
That's another trend that they set in their laptops, is having less and less ports. And
this is why in future, I see myself leaning more towards the Chinese brands. More and more, because as much as, like, as you say, a lot of smartphones over the decade or so have mimicked the iPhone, the Chinese brands are very careful in what they mimic. So I don't expect Huawei to announce the same thing with a headless, jack next year, and I don't expect them to, you know, they are very careful in what they mimic.
I tend to agree with you, because like the Chinese brands are very much in tune with who their customer base is.
Sure.
And they know that if Xiaomi comes out and goes, oh, we got rid of the headphone jack, everyone will just go to Huawei.
Yeah.
And because that's how cutthroat
their biggest biggest markets are their people. It's not even us. Their biggest market are their people.
So they'll make a phone for their people, and they will make sure that that thing is as packed to the brim with features as possible.
Yep.
And so I think 2016, the rise of the Chinese smartphone, the fall of the headphoneless, jackless,
whatever
that comes out. So Samsung and Chinese smartphones.
Yay, China.
Go China. Go China.
Yeah, it's... And can I just add one more hate against Apple?
Why not? We've got the time.
Someone I know, I don't want to say who they are, but they are a huge fan of Apple. And they are very well off, right? They make a lot of money, whatever. So they can afford Apple stuff, and they don't mind paying for the premium, whatever. The other day, I was speaking to them, and they said, you know what? I went into the Apple store the other day to look at the new laptops, and I'm appalled by how much they cost. He was looking at the new MacBook Pro, and it was like
$50,000.
I don't know. He never specified. He just said, that isn't just too much for a computer. That's just... like extortion. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
how much can you get? How many Lenovos can you get for that amount?
That's a down payment on a car.
Yeah,
that's more than my car.
Compared to tech.
You can get a great gaming laptop for $50,000.
Yeah, it's like the all laptops that Apple's
Gigabyte
that cost
thing that Dion reviewed or something, $33,000.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
So you could buy one of those and still have changeover.
Still have Christmas bonus.
Yeah, and those play games.
Well, can I say something positive about Apple then to balance that out?
Sure, Nick.
Right, I was at BlizzCon and my laptop died. My MacBook Pro died. Okay, and I went on YouTube and go, this is what's happening. And they said, it looks like your flexi cable's gone. So I was like, well, I obviously don't have a screwdriver.
You went on YouTube and spoke to Apple?
No, I went on YouTube to see, like, you know, I was...
What the problem is.
Oh, I'm like, wow, aren't you lucky?
And I thought, I don't have a small screwdriver. I don't have any wherewithal to replace this. So I had to go to the Apple store. Went to the Apple store, and the guy behind the counter basically goes, right, it's either the flexi cable or your entire hard drive has tanked. Which means that to replace the flexi cable, it's going to be like R1,000. And to replace your hard drive, it's going to be R3,000.
Damn.
And I was like, well...
did you have your credit card on you?
Still cheaper than a MacBook Pro new one, isn't it? He said, yeah, the entry level for that's like $27,000. I was like, now, here's the thing. Whenever I take something in to get repaired anywhere, my understanding of the process is they get it, and then they send you a quote and say, this is what it's going to cost to fix.
Yeah.
I didn't get any of that from Apple. They basically sent me a text going, we've got your laptop now. And then a couple of days later, they're like, your laptop is being fixed. And then a couple of days later, it's like, your laptop is fixed now. It's back at the shop. And I'm like, well, I don't even know how much this is going to cost me. Go back to the iStore. And they said,
iStore South Africa, right?
Yeah, iStore South Africa in Cresta. And the guy behind the counter is like, here you go, here's your laptop. It's like, how much is that? He's like, oh, nothing. I was like, what? said, yeah, apparently the flexi cable was the problem, but the connection of the flexi cable on this particular model, because it's an older model, it was found to be faulty so badly that they brought in... They did a factory recall on that particular part of the flexi cable. Oh, wow. So it's still covered by the warranty. So yay. Here you are, no cost. Have a nice day.
Well, you were nice. Happy.
Yeah. So
I suppose.
So they're yeah. Clinton.
Okay.
Customer service.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
They've used all that money for good customers.
I hope you put that on Hello Peter as a positive review.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might have just been honest repair guy.
Okay. So I think we're going to wrap up now with finally. Is there a piece of tech, Lungela, that came out this year that you can't live without?
My phone?
And that came out this year?
No.
No.
Just a sad no.
So, no. Right.
Not anti-technology. That's such a bad word.
Especially that you work for a technology website.
I know,
that
right?
Might, that terrible bonus you were talking word. About?
Terrible. Bloop that one out so that the bosses don't hear it. I'm one of those people who honestly can survive on just
memes.
A laptop and a smartphone and a stand, not even an HD PVR Explorer. It downloads the celebrities into your living room thing. But
there's an app that downloads celebrities into your living room.
You just press onto the button and then...
So that's where they're all going. They're not dying.
We're in Futurama
David
now,
Bowie
boys.
David Bowie and Gene Hackman are at her house.
Exactly. So I literally... If I have those three things, I'm good. I don't need to... Of course, I'll buy Explorer in the future, but at the time being, I'm not that much of a TV fanatic that I need to either PVR, rewind, fast forward, or catch up on what I didn't see, you know? And a phone is phone. The phone has everything that I need. And of course, laptop is for work and for quick replies on Twitter. But yeah, that's basically me and that's it.
So what was your highlight, Brendan? Was it a game? Was it a phone? Was it what?
I think my highlight of the year was definitely a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's Hearthstone, definitely. I know everybody hates it.
I'm the only one in the office who gives a shit. So.
Clinton gives a shit. Lingeno doesn't care.
the reason that Hearthstone makes the cut and not something like Doom or The Division or Dota even was that I've had the most fun I can remember having in a game in Hearthstone.
Mm.
Just... chilling out, not taking anything too seriously. Like, I know when I load up a game of Hearthstone, I'm gonna play some folks that are probably better than me. I've made peace with that fact, and it's fun.
And you're not competing.
And I met a whole bunch of cool people through it online, and it's really just a fun game. And for me, it kind of through everything that happened this year, from David Bowie's death to Donald Trump becoming president
to Lord Jesus
to the Brexit to everything, Hearthstone has been that one thing that's kind of just been an escape for me.
Mm.
And I'm eternally grateful to Blizzard for that. And Mean Streets of Gadget Sand is the most fun I've had in that game all year, including getting a 30-30 Cthulhu out onto the board. It's just a really fun game, and that's my favorite thing in 2016.
The equivalent of that for me is Candy Crush.
Such a casual Lungi.
Well, let's hear from you, Mr. Hardcore.
Probably Into the Gungeon. And yes, that is a flippin' hardcore game. You need it's breaking down a wall by headbutting it. That game became, for a few months, a hobby for me, where even if I had other games to play or review, whatever I was doing, I was just I'm going to sit down and do an hour's run of Into the Gungeon. I finished all the content there is after 152 hours, and there's a new big free update coming out, should be before the end of this year, hopefully, soon, TM. And yeah, that was a huge surprise. After seeing the trailers of Doom, I was like, yes, that looks fantastic. And Into the Gungeon came out of nowhere. It's my favorite genre, which is roguelites. And that was my hobby for this year. And it was fantastic. And
it's a Devolver, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the publisher. That's the publisher. The developers, Dodge Roll Studios.
Okay.
Fantastic game. Play it.
Right.
And you, Nick?
It's a tough
Hitman,
one.
Hitman, isn't
it's
it,
Hitman.
Nick? Yeah. I could see the look on your face. You know, Nick, I also gave you shit about Hitman because it's a stealth game or whatever. I watched one of the YouTubers play it and I'm like, that looks like a lot of fun.
It is.
For a stealth game.
It's amazing. Well, the thing is that you shouldn't play it like a stealth game. You should play it like a comedy game.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Seriously.
They've programmed so many ridiculous things into that. Mm. Like, you can get somebody, like one of the boy bands has a sword on his bed, and you can go around stabbing people with a samurai sword. It's so stupid.
Well, I mean, this is the thing, is that, like, first of all, like, I really enjoy the Hitman games, just because you can go loud, go soft. The world that he inhabits is like a James Bond film designed by Monty Python's Flying Circus. It's got all the glamorous locations, but it's got these ridiculous characters, you know. The fact of the matter is that, like, the range of things you can do. I mean, I liked Absolution, but I knew I was back in safe hands when one of the first times that you get to kill someone in Hitman is that you trick them into getting into the cockpit of a plane that you've jerry-rigged, and you're basically sitting there going, right, put on your safety belt, press these buttons, you know, nothing's going to work, don't worry. And then they pull the ejector seat and they fly out of the plane and crash into the roof of a hangar. And that's how you get rid of them. And also the range of things that Agent 47 can do, you wouldn't believe. I mean, in my time in the game with Agent 47, I've dressed him up as a model. He's been down a catwalk and shown his stuff. At one point, he got into this rehearsal space with this band, and he played a drum solo to convince them that he was an actual drummer.
Sims, R-A-T.
The last mission, he actually killed somebody after giving them a yoga lesson, you know.
that's snuff cool. Yoga is, you know, what that is.
Like, you're standing there, like, behind them going, and we now do the lotus position, and they're doing all the same moves as you, and then finally she's standing on the edge of this like mountain retreat going, oh, what have you for
to do this one?
What have you of you to die for? And you're like, you know,
poor choice of words.
By the way, since we've been sitting here, just before we wrap up, I've done some number crunching about the stories that you've
Nick's
done this
an
year.
Analyst now,
right? What would you say portion of your work has been cloudy stories?
Out of those 200 and something.
What a no,
the whole year.
A percentage.
Out of all the story you've
now you're scaring me.
Out of all the stories you've done this year, what portion do you think?
40%?
50. 90%. Oh.
90%?
No.
I think Nick's having a game now. Is it really?
No. I refuse. I'm not recognizing that. I'm not recognizing that.
We're gonna get a content ID strike now.
That's all right. We only used 7 seconds of that, so it's out. It's outside of copyright.
It's fair use.
Anyway, thank you very much, guys. Lungello, enjoy hiding in the bunker this Christmas.
I will.
Brendan, enjoy playing Hearthstone this Christmas.
And thank you to our listeners for hanging with us, even though we went quiet for a little while.
Yeah. No, we are back every single Wednesday. I think we're away for a week.
Yeah.
But you guys are going to be on holiday, and quite frankly, if you're listening to a podcast on holiday, go to the beach.
Yeah, really.
You know, play with
your
toys.
Will you be at the beach?
I'm going to be on holiday at home, Nick. I find that offensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can like take some soil from the garden, some stick it in.
I'm going to. Nick has just suggested that I go roll around in mud during my holidays.
No, I haven't.
I want photographic proof of that, please.
You know, I'm not doing.
As Bill Hicks said, you got a bathtub and a garden. You can spend the holiday indoors.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I hope you guys have a better holiday than that.
Yeah. Where are you going, Nick?
Me, I am staying in Joburg.
Best thing to do.
And I'm writing
so
a novel.
So silent.
Oh, you're writing a novel.
Yeah.
Novel.
Yeah.
Get on my level. Get on my level, Nick. I've already written a novel.
Hey?
I've already written a novel.
Really? What's it about?
Yes. About Johannesburg. Really? I'm not joking. I really have written a book.
Well, why haven't you published it?
I don't know. I haven't had the time to edit it.
I just tossed off this novel, but I don't have the time to.
You may be sitting on a Pulitzer Prize winning book.
I'm not joking. I want to read your book, Nick. You can read mine.
Well, thank you. We'll swapsies. All right. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next year. Have a happy new year and a glorious Christmas. Bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.